I'll never forget the first time I taught other therapists. I was absolutely terrified. It was a real who do you think you are moment. But what I've found over time is that the more honest I am about myself and my self-doubts, the more that people actually connect with me. And one of the things that they tell me is that being real is something that helps them. That's the funny thing about self-disclosure. It can actually help people feel a lot less alone. Welcome to Good Enough Counsellors, the podcast for growing a private practice without the pressure to be perfect. I'm Josephine Hughes, counsellor and creator of Therapy Growth Group, helping you get the clients you want and creating the practice of your dreams. In today's episode, we're going to talk all about self-disclosure on your social media pages. So this is when you are writing or creating posts that are aimed at the general public because you're looking for clients. Now, the reason I decided to talk about this in this episode is I've just attended the BACP Private Practice Conference where I was an exhibitor. A young man approached me who said that he wanted to start a podcast with a fellow therapist. They're going to make it a conversational, very chatty type of podcast, and he would like to bring in stories from his life. That's often the way these podcasts work. They are quite casual, and it's a back and forth between two people. It can be difficult in those situations to actually think about what can I say and what I can't say. And he was concerned that if he did self-disclose, was it going to harm the client? So this podcast is in part to answer those particular fears. And hopefully it'll help you if you're creating posts for your social media pages as well. As it's the social media podcast for October, not only am I going to be talking about social media self-disclosure, but we're also going to look at some posts for the month of November, and we'll touch on ideas that you might feel safe in using a bit of self-disclosure. So let's start with the fear of self-disclosure on social media. And why is it a particular concern for those of us who are therapists? Well, I'm sure I don't need to tell you that our training actually involves quite a lot about the dangers of self-disclosure when you're in the therapy room. For example, one of the big problems of self-disclosure is the shifting of the focus away from our client and towards ourselves. We're actually aiming for our sessions to be all about the clients, and we don't want to shine a spotlight on ourselves. We always think of self-disclosure in the therapy room of only self-disclosing if it is going to serve the client. And we have to think quite carefully about that, because there's things that self-disclosure might do that we might not be realizing that's happening. For example, it can begin to blur the boundaries between the therapist and the client, and it can begin to mean that it feels more like a friendly conversation, or a conversation between friends, I should say, rather than a conversation between therapist and client. So that's a real thing that we would like to avoid. Something else that might happen is if we tell a particular story, the client may feel burdened and they may feel that they've got to look after us. So we need to be really careful in thinking about what we actually want to tell them, because the session isn't about us, is it? It's definitely centered on the client. The other thing we want to avoid as well is giving any hint of our own opinions around how we think someone should be or the particular steps they should take next. And sometimes oversharing can lead to a client thinking that we know it all and that they should follow what we've done. And obviously that isn't going to be appropriate for them. So there's quite a few reasons why we need to be careful about self-disclosure. And this obviously tips over into our social media posting. It can feel like we're breaking quite an important rule for therapy, and we can worry that we're shifting attention away from our clients. Basically, it can feel like it's the wrong thing to do. And then something else that comes into play is our fears about judgment and what other therapists might think if they see what we're doing. We worry we're going to be criticised. And there's another layer around criticism as well, in that we may not even be thinking about what other therapists are going to say or think. We can be worrying about what anyone else is going to say or think. Sharing ourselves online is actually quite a challenging thing to do. I remember when I shared my first podcast, Gloriously Unready, the one where I talk about being the mum of transgender young people, I was absolutely terrified about what people would say and how they might react to it. So much so that I really had to sit down and think, do I really want to do this? And I'll share in a moment how I found the courage to continue. But the thought of all these people seeing my innermost thoughts was absolutely terrifying. You know, we're private people. We don't necessarily want our lives to be on show for everybody to see. So sharing on social media makes us feel quite vulnerable as well. And I'm going to talk in a little bit about safe sharing. So don't worry, I'm not expecting you to share your innermost life. This isn't what this podcast is about. It's actually about helping you to feel safe with what you do share. So bear with me. Let's have a quick think about why self-disclosure on social media can actually be helpful. If it's all so scary, then why do people do it? The first thing to say is that sharing something of ourselves online helps clients to relate to us. Clients like to know who it is that they're coming to see. And especially in private practice, there are lots of people out there who are willing to share themselves. You do see their photos online. They perhaps do reels. There's something about them that people can actually relate to. One of the things that I do notice that I think perhaps it's worth thinking about and paying attention to is, if you're someone where it's culturally appropriate for you to share a photograph of yourself, it isn't for everybody, and I recognise that. But for many of us, it is a culturally appropriate thing to share a photo of ourselves online. If you're just presenting a logo, in a sense, you're actually hiding behind that logo, and it acts as a bit of a barrier for people to be able to know you. People want to be able to relate to you. And transparency actually builds trust. A photo or a glimpse of your life or why you became a therapist helps people to feel safe enough to reach out. This is the real reason why we think about disclosing certain aspects of ourselves online. It's actually in service to our clients. It's to help them find us. It's to help them trust us in advance. I'd like to add a caveat to that though, and this is often what I say to people when they do ask me about self-disclosure. When we disclose in the therapy room, it's to help the client. We're very careful about what we choose to say and what we don't choose to say. And I think the same can apply when you're on social media, is thinking about your potential clients, what's going to be helpful for them to know, and what isn't going to be helpful for them to know. And although there's no right or wrong, I think asking yourself that question can really help you to make a decision about whether or not you want to share something. There's some other factors as well, and we'll come back to those. Let's just have a quick think about the different kinds of disclosure that you could do. So there's professional disclosure. and you might well feel perfectly okay with doing this. And this may be something like the type of training you've had, or your approach, or possibly the reasons you became a therapist. That might help people to know you a little bit better and to warm to you, especially if you're trying to reach out to, say, a particular type of client group, and you might want to share that you had that experience, and so now you're trying to help other people who are having that experience too. I'm thinking, for example, of a lovely therapist that I've worked with, Camille Piper, who is a deaf therapist, and she wants to ensure that deaf clients get access to therapy that they can actually use. So that's a great thing that you might want to self-disclose. So that's the sort of professional things that you might like to disclose. And then there's also personal things that you might like to disclose. So this would be things like small snippets of your life, your hobbies, or something that you enjoy doing on a daily basis, like going for a walk, how you might use mindfulness in your life, that sort of thing. Or carefully chosen stories. If you follow me on social media, you'll see that I use stories all the time to illustrate particular points. And you can simply pick something that's happened to you that day. It isn't particularly personal, but it's just relatable. It's not very private. Have a look at my social media on Facebook if you want to get an idea of how I use stories about my life in order to illustrate what I'm trying to say. So that's the professional and the personal. Now there's a third P, and I think this is really important, and this is stuff you don't need to disclose. And this is your privacy. There's lots and lots of stuff that you don't necessarily want to share online, and that is absolutely fine. And I'm not expecting you to share your private life if it's not appropriate for you. And you can decide what you want to keep private. Nobody is telling you to share stuff that's private. You don't have to share your whole life. And now what I'd like to do is just have a little think about self-disclosure and how to make it safe for you. I mentioned a little while ago about my Gloriously Unready podcast and how terrified I was about sharing. And there were two things that helped me to get over that. Number one was thinking about, actually, I'm just talking from my own experience. This is what I've experienced, and no one can argue with the way that I experience this. This is simply who I am. So that helped me a lot. And the second thing that helped me was actually reminding myself that I cannot control what people hear. I can try and describe my experience as best as I can. I can try and explain why my experience was that particular way. But what I can't do is control how people receive it. And I think when you are creating something, whether it's a post or a podcast, it's really important to let go of it once it's been released. I don't know how you're going to receive this podcast. You may well hate it, and others of you may well love it. But either way, I can't control your reaction. I can only do the best that I can. And I do hold on to that. And when the podcast went out, I actually felt quite proud of it because I'd put my heart and soul into that podcast. I know I'd done it with the best of intentions. And however much anybody would like to shame me for it, it is what it is, and it was what I did at that particular point in my life that felt really real and authentic. So I'm proud of it. That really helped me to get through those two things, knowing that it was my own experience and knowing that I can't control other people's reactions to it. Now, the other thing that's really helpful, and again, I did actually use this when I was doing that podcast, is actually thinking about your boundaries. And I was really lucky to have a podcast producer who just kept asking me and checking this out with me. Do you have your family's permission to share this? And actually, I made sure that I spoke to each person where I was talking about them to double check that it was okay to tell this story. And I think it's really important when you are telling stories to ask yourself, is this my story to tell? Because sometimes it isn't. And if it isn't, it's really important to check yourself and either ask permission or not share it. And I usually choose not to share unless I have actually got specific permission from somebody. And part of the reason why this is so important is it's about boundaries. And even if no one knows whether or not you've got permission, I think it's part of your authenticity of being a counsellor. You wouldn't go around telling your client stories to all and sundry. So I think that's an important principle to also hold in your life as well. If you wouldn't do it for your clients, you know, would you do it for your family? It's just, I think, a principle that, you know, you're trustworthy and people can speak to you without it being across the front of a TikTok video or something like that. So do check out that you've got permission to tell people's stories. It really is important and it will in the long term, you know, maybe save you from some embarrassing moments with your friends and family. Now, the next thing I want to mention is something that I heard from Glennon Doyle, who is the podcaster of the podcast You Can Do Hard Things. And one of the things Glennon suggests when you are sharing is that she says, share from the scar, not the open wound. So if you do decide to talk about yourself, if you do decide to share stories and you want to share something about your own journey, I think it's another little check-in with yourself. Is this something that is still ongoing? Because if it is, then often it means that you actually haven't got that distance to be able to see clearly. And I've got some themes that I talk about that are current themes that I'm really happy to share about. So, you know, for example, I will talk about things like my tendency to compare and despair, but I might not talk about stuff that are ongoing things that I'm still reflecting on because that's not fair to me. I may well need to continue to reflect before I share. And I prefer to share from a place where, although nothing's ever 100% resolved, I'd still like to share from a place where I'm a little bit further on in resolving a particular story. At the moment, I've just started to listen to Liz Gilbert's new book, All the Way to the River, which is her story of her relationship with her partner, Rhea Elias, who died. And it's an incredible story. Really, really interesting. And it's a lot about Liz's codependent relationship with Rhea. And what I'm really struck by is how far Liz has come and how she's really waited before she's told the story. And she's only telling the story now that she's had time to actually process it. And actually, even now, listening to it, I'm still thinking, is it too soon? Will she regret this? It's a really searing account of their relationship. Anyway, it's just really interesting to know that she has given herself time to heal and to reflect and to process before she shared it. Because once your story's out there, it is out there. So do have a little check-in with yourself before you share something. Now, that's obviously the example I've just given you is a really big example. This is sharing intimate details of their relationship, the Liz Gilbert book. I don't suggest that you do that, especially at the start, if at all. What I'd say is that it's really, really helpful to start small, to just build up over time. And I definitely did this. I built up very, very gradually. And now I feel a lot more comfortable than I ever did when I first started. So give yourself the chance. Look after your nervous system. Take it step by step. So you could just share something small, like your desk, your picture of your desk at work, your favourite mug, a book you're reading, and then you can feel afterwards, you know, ask yourself, how did that feel? See how where your feelings are. See how safe you feel. I shared something yesterday on LinkedIn, and honestly, I posted it and then I thought, oh my goodness, I'm not sure that was the right thing to do. And I thought, I'm going to delete it. And then I couldn't find the post to delete it. And actually, it's been received really, really well. It was just that it was a little bit risky. But I think because I actually spent quite a bit of time thinking about it, it was all right in the end. But, you know, sometimes if you're sharing something, give yourself time. Don't press publish straight away. Leave it for a while, come back. And that's often what I do and what I did with that particular post yesterday. It was drafted and redrafted a couple of times before I felt that I'd hit the right tone. So give yourself time as well. If you're sharing something, give yourself time. If you've written something and then you're not sure whether or not to publish, sleep on it. That can really make a difference. And something we do in Therapy Growth Group is that when people aren't quite sure about a post, they'll come into Therapy Growth Group, they'll share it in the group, we'll have a chat about it. I might suggest a few tweaks to help improve it or help them feel a bit safer. And then they feel happier to be able to go out and share it. There's a lot of support in Therapy Growth Group, especially around these tricky issues of what you want to say, what you're not sure about saying, and how to say it. And just to let you know that when this particular podcast comes out, we're going to be working on our profiles. So if you want to come on board, now is a really great time to be joining Therapy Growth Group, because we're working on our profiles all the way through the month of October. And at the beginning of November, we're going to do the intensive week, Make Your Profile Work, which is where you get feedback every day on your profile writing. If that's of interest, now is a brilliant time to join Therapy Growth Group. Just go along to josephinehughes.com, click onto that front page, and you'll see a little arrow saying find out more about Therapy Growth Group. Just click through and you can read more about it there. Now, just before we move on to talking about the social media ideas, I hope this is helpful to you and you're not thinking, oh, for goodness sake, Josephine, get on with it. I want to get to the social media post ideas. Hopefully you're enjoying this section. I just wanted to talk actually about self-disclosure, because remember that we self-disclose all the time. The moment a client comes into the room, they're going to be able to see quite a lot about us. They're going to know our age, for example, or get pretty close to it. The type of clothes we choose, that discloses something about us. Whether or not we're wearing makeup, whether or not we've coloured our hair, there's an awful lot that we give away without having to say anything. So it's a bit of a myth to say that we're a completely blank slate. But what we've got to really remember, and I'm just going to tie this little section about self-disclosure up now, is that we may feel safe hiding, but that might mean the client doesn't find us approachable. And remember that clients aren't actually critiquing you. They're really just wanting to know, is this somebody I can work with, and do they seem kind, reliable, and trustworthy? So thinking of self-disclosure from the point of view of serving the client rather than thinking about the therapist can actually help you to feel less scared. So, in summary, disclosure doesn't have to mean oversharing yourself. It means showing enough of yourself to build trust, but you can take it really slowly and carefully and help yourself feel safe and just test the water very, very gradually. Just dip your toe in. Right, so in the second half of the episode, I'm going to share some practical ideas for November, and I'm going to include a little bit about self-disclosure as I talk about these ideas as well. So coming up in November, we have got the theme of kindness and compassion. Because it's Kindness Week between the 10th and the 16th, It's World Kindness Day on November the 13th, and it's also on the same day, Social Media Kindness Day. So if you wanted to have a safe post, you could just simply post about why kindness and self-compassion are such a game changer for people, especially those who have a strong inner critic. Or you might like to share a favourite quote on kindness. That's a fairly safe post to do. But if you can share a little bit more, I think you might find that that gets a little bit more traction. So if you can share something of yourself, things that help you, for example, to be kind to yourself, or even a small act of kindness that you've experienced from someone else and how it made you feel, that just helps you to be a little bit more relatable to your audience. November is Movember, isn't it? So it's all around men's mental health. If you're somebody who works with men, Movember is a brilliant month for talking about their mental health. So you've got International Men's Day on the 19th of November, for example. And obviously you've got the whole month is about men's health awareness. So a safe post idea, that would be why it's hard for men to reach out for therapy. And you could talk about how therapy can actually help men. And if you want, you could do some self-disclosure. So you could, for example, reflect on a male role model, somebody who's helped you in the past, or you could pick out a particular character that's spoken to you from a film or TV show. Think about men, think about stories that you've got in your life that could serve the client and make a point somehow about therapy, and share something of that. Another theme for November is stress and self-care, because you've got Stress Awareness Day on the 5th. That's a really big one for those of us who are therapists, and also Self-Care Week between the 17th and the 23rd. You could have a safe post, which would be to share some grounding techniques, for example. And if you wanted to be a little bit braver, you could do some self-disclosure around how you personally manage stress. Could be a mug of tea, for example, or it could be you stroking your cat, if your cat allows you to stroke them. It could be something like a cozy corner at home full of things that you love to do. For example, if say you're a crochet person, you could share something about that. So a little bit of self-disclosure, but nothing that's too scary. And then also we've got gratitude and remembrance, because obviously with November we have Armistice Day, we have Remembrance Sunday. So remembrance and gratitude could be a theme that you bring in, and why gratitude's an important aspect of mental health. You could share, if you're willing to be a bit more open about yourself, something that you're thankful for. It's obviously Thanksgiving as well, although that's an American tradition. You could use that and talk about something like if family is important to you, that could be something that you could share. And then finally, I always like to try and include something for our neurodivergent audience. We've got some great days. I'm going to tell you what they are. We've got Celebrate Your Unique Talent Day on the 24th. We've got Odd Socks Day. I love this one. And that's on the 17th. And we've also got Love, Love, Love This Personal Space Day. So these could be really brilliant days for working with your neurodivergent clients. You could invite your followers to reflect on what makes them unique. You could share how they have something valuable to offer. But also, if you're prepared to do a bit of self-disclosure, you could share something that's a bit quirky about you. So if you're somebody who likes to wear odd socks, you could take a photo of your feet in different socks, and you could talk about why that's something you like doing. So it just helps to show your human side. And that's exactly what this episode has been about. It's about showing your human side so that you're more relatable to clients. You're not some therapist in an ivory tower looking down on these people who, you know, just haven't got it together. You're just a normal human being just like them, and that if you can somehow communicate that to people, it really helps them to feel comfortable to approach you. And let's face it, that really is of service to the client, which is everything that we decide to self-disclose should be about. So I really hope that's helped you today to think more about self-disclosure. And next week, I'm going to be joined by Dr. Yvonne Guest. And Yvonne's going to be talking about how we can support mixed and multiracial clients in therapy. We're going to be exploring issues of identity, belonging, and what it really means to hold the space for the whole person. Really looking forward to sharing that with you next week. See you there. Thanks for listening. Do come and join my Facebook community, Good Enough Counsellors. For more information about how I can help you develop your private practice, please visit my website, josephinehughes.com. If you found this episode helpful, I'd love it if you could share it with a fellow therapist or leave a review on your podcast app. And in closing, I'd love to remind you that every single step you make gets you closer to your dream. I really believe you can do it.